Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Week 12 of the National Football League season starts tonight with the Bills at Texans, a game you can hear on West 1 coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan. And let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And Baldy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Lamar Jackson has not practiced on Wednesday each of the last 2 weeks. He frankly hasn't been to Lamar Jackson levels playing of late. Is there any part of you that's concerned about Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look healthy. He's not moving the way we're used to seeing him move. I mean, he made a nice throw to Zay Flowers, I believe, when he felt, Myles Garrett chasing him again from the backside. So he still has a little bit of a burst, but, it looks like he's favoring that left leg, whether that's the ankle-knee combination. Looks like he's really favoring it at this point. And so, he's not practicing because I don't think he's healthy, and they're trying to probably give him as much rest as they possibly can, try to get him as healthy as they can for these games on Sunday.
Baldy, we've been talking a lot about the offensive line and their struggles, maybe Lamar Jackson's lack of trust in the offensive line, and it seems to be a weekly question to John Harbaugh. But that being said, who's the weakest link on this offensive line for you?
I don't think there's one weak link. They got the big run when they needed the big run because they just lined up, Ricard and the tight ends, and they just double whammed inside to create like a lane for him to go, which was a big run. And, they got the big run from Mark Andrews on just the evolution of their tush-push play. But, they just haven't had a lot of movement up front. But I would say there's one weak link. I mean, Linderbaum has been to the Pro Bowl. He's a good player. He's very undersized in that, when you're going up against bigger guys, he's going to struggle a little bit, but he plays with leverage. He's a wrestler. He gets the job done, but I don't know if there's one guy that you say, okay, we got to replace this guy right now. I don't know if that's the case. It's just the way they're playing as a group, and everybody's struggling against Myles Garrett right now around this league.
Baldy, I want to focus in on the Chiefs a little bit here. Coming off a bye, I thought they'd find a way to be a point better than Denver, and they weren't. I was doing some digging. I found this interesting. So from the time Mahomes came in the league in 2018, until last year, he was the number one passer in the NFL against the blitz by a country mile. 113.8 rating, 66% completions, 8.4 per attempt, 69 TDs, Bone, to 11 interceptions. This year, Baldy, he's being blitzed 33% more than in years past. He's got a rating of just 86.4. That's 27th in the league, just 6 yards per attempt, just 56% completions. Should he prepare for more of that down the stretch? And also, they're not, even with Rice there, they don't get the big ones to burn you like they used to. Is this a new way of life for him? Is that offensive line and the lack of explosives and then being vulnerable, maybe especially on the road, is this something he needs to be wary of?
I think you just hit the bingo number, what you just said. I thought they lost the game last week, Jason, because they could not convert their explosives, and Denver did. They got one to Tyquan Thornton for 61 yards. That led to a touchdown. But that's the only one they got, and they probably missed three or four other shots. And Denver, if you remember, they hit the big one, to Pat Bryant down the field, to set up the game-winning field goal. They hit three out of seven or four out of seven of theirs. And Sean Payton just, from the fifth play of the game, He was determined to take their shots, and it turned out to be the winning formula in that game. What happens, and the reason why that's important, Jason, is the left tackle struggled last week in his first game back as a starter. He had a lot of penalties. He struggled. And so, I mean, you know, but that's Nick Bonino out there and some really elite pass rushers on the road. So, you know, they'll be home this week. I don't know, you know, honestly, like Indianapolis, if you have to, they've got pass rushers. There's no DeForest Buckner. They should have better protection this week. I thought Sauce Gardner did not look very good in his first game, you know, against Atlanta. We'll see, if, you know, another week in the system and how he's moving. But I didn't think he looked great to me. Like, I think Kansas City is going to attack this secondary. Mm-hmm. And I think if Mahomes hits his shots, it's going to give him a precipitous advantage to win this game.
I'll give you another stat, Baldy. This one blew my mind, too.
All right. Good.
So from 2018 until 2022, while they had Tyreek Hill, Mahomes threw 42 touchdown passes of 20 yards or more in just 79 games. Only Aaron Rodgers had more with 43. Since Tyreek Hill left town, Aiden O'Connell, Will Levis, and Justin Fields all have more passing touchdowns of 20 yards or more than Mahomes. He only has seven since Hill left. That's 28th in the NFL in that span.
Yeah, that's alarming. Now, especially since they've added all this speed to the lineup. I mean, Thornton can run, Xavier Worthy can run, Hollywood can run. They've got the speed. Now, none of those guys are Tyreek Hill in his prime in Kansas City. So, I mean, he was a different beast, you know, to the very end. So they have not adequately replaced him, although they've won Super Bowls without him, and they've been to Super Bowls without him. But they've had to play a different style. And I think in this league, Jason, not just Kansas City, but if you've got to dink and dunk your way down the field like Pittsburgh's trying to do, like you're just going to have some rough days. If you're not getting explosive plays, you know, of 20 yards or more on drives, you're generally your chances of scoring are just going way down at this point. And that's, you know, and scoring's been a problem for Kansas City over the last couple of years.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. It seems to be trending that Joe Burrow is going to play this weekend. Just your thoughts on him returning so soon, and like I get the offense wasn't good against Pittsburgh Sunday, but it didn't seem like offense was the problem the previous couple of weeks with Joe Flacco, a quarterback.
No, I mean, he threw for 450 yards in one of those starts. You know, I mean, he's played well, but I mean, Joe knows everything about these guys, and you know. I mean, Joe played really well, just showing up and putting the uniform on and throwing to guys he's never thrown to before. I mean, he was pretty good. But, I mean, Joe knows everything about – I mean, he's just very, very smart. And so New England's got an elite corner in Christian Gonzalez. I'm sure he's gonna line up on whether it's T or Jamar. And, you know, and but I feel like Joe and his accuracy and his ability just to go through progressions – like nobody else in his whole business, you know, provided, you know, he's reasonably healthy and reasonably in good shape, which I feel like they're not going to put him out there unless he is. Like, this is going to be a good test for New England because they've been number one in the league against the run. And so, you know, they want to try to balance things up. But if Joe's got to drop back and throw it 45 times, this would be an awfully fun game to go watch because we know Cincinnati's defense isn't good. And we feel like Drake May is probably going to put up 24, 28 points. You know, can Cincy match that right now?
Baldy, I'm not sure how many people thought the Bears would be leading the NFC North heading into Week 12. But with that being said, could they actually win that division? Who do you think wins the North?
I think Chicago can win it. You know, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record yet. Now, they you know, they entertained Pittsburgh this weekend. It's a big game. You know, we'll see. You know who plays quarterback for Pittsburgh, but they can win it. Detroit has, you know, I mean, they're not going to see Philadelphia's defense again, like they saw on Sunday night, which completely flummoxed everybody. You know, whether it was Dan Campbell calling plays or Jared Goff, I mean, they just dominated that game. You know, you go for it on fourth downs five times, and you go 0-for-5. I mean, you might want to look in the rearview mirror about some of those decisions. Against Philadelphia, other teams, maybe you might attempt that many. But regardless, Chicago is playing, you know, they lead the league in takeaways. That's always a great stat if you're trying to win games. And so, you know, Kevin Byard leads the league in interceptions. He's an excellent zone safety. He's just very crafty, very smart, gets his hands on a lot of footballs, and he did last week, made a difference in the game. So, I mean, they keep taking the ball away at the rate they are, which is 2.2 a game. And you give extra bats to a fairly conservative offense, but an offense that doesn't turn the ball over, where Caleb is improving, where they really are committed to a run game, you can win a lot of games with that formula. And so we'll see. I mean, this is a big game with Pittsburgh this weekend. But if they beat Pittsburgh, I would say that they can beat anybody in that division.
Baldy, I've convinced myself that the Texans are quite live to win this game tonight. Am I crazy?
No, that defense is so good, Jason. Like, honestly, watching Will Anderson is just a joy.
Yeah.
That guy plays every snap. Not like the proverbial hairs on fire, but like it looks like this might be his last game. That's he's going to play it and leave it all in the field. He plays every snap like that. But whether it's Stingley or Lassiter or Azeez Al-Shaair, like they play the game. Like, I don't know what, you know, I'm not sure what they get said in the locker room by D'Amico, but they come ready to play. And look, I mean, Tennessee battled like crazy. They did everything they had to win that game last week. The offense didn't very good for Houston, but I think they could give Josh Allen and that offense a lot of trouble tonight.
Baldy, thank you as always for your time.
Thanks,
we
buddy.
Appreciate it. We'll chat next week.
Yep. My pleasure, guys. Enjoy it. I'll talk to you.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. We'll talk Orioles and what Jacob Calvin Meyer thought of the Grayson Rodriguez trade at 3:30. But coming up next, we preview that Thursday night football game. It's League at Large next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
From the fan.
Yeah, I think one, the way they can produce those type of numbers and still be, I'm not calling like a team that doesn't blitz a whole lot. They're not a lot of exotic looks. They just kind of put the ball down and play. They're fantastic in the back end. I think their front is great. They're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks. So, yeah, we're going to have our hands full. But, again, on a short week, just trying to put together a game plan, watching as much film as we can, trying to develop as good of a plan we can, and ultimately comes down to executing on Thursday.
It's Josh Allen, quarterback for the Bills. We got a good one tonight, Bills and Texans, Thursday Night Football. And Josh Allen says, like the Bone, the Texans are fantastic in the back end. By the way, you're still standing, Bone. Any update?
I did.
Oh, wait, today was the thing.
I did get the stitches out today.
So and, you're not sitting?
And coincidentally enough, the PA, remember, that was there the first time she saw me bent over getting them taken out.
And? You're going out for drinks next week?
No. So I'm not fully cleared yet because apparently I have the stitches that dissolve in as well. That's another 2 weeks. But he said, like, I can run, you know, I can be a little more active.
No sitting.
I might sit.
Your stash is gone.
Yeah,
no more medicine. Gone.
No, it's more of an annoyance at this point. Like, it doesn't hurt. It's just annoying.
Okay. Well, what's not annoying is this matchup potentially, and
interesting.
It should be a good one. And you like the Texans, huh? Even with Davis Mills.
I do. Look, I think with Davis Mills, it forces them to simplify things and not like have to prop Stroud up or show that we can do this and show that we can do that. And honestly, Mills has been throwing the ball more than he probably should be. And against this opponent, I mean, they've got Woody Marks, who's interesting every down back. They've got Chubb, who can supplement him. I do think if you kind of look at the Bills, they've got the two outside corners who can take things away that way. But the middle of the field is open for them, I think, throwing the ball to Marks, throwing the ball to the tight end in the middle of the field is going to allow them to sustain drives. And Buffalo does not score on the road. Buffalo goes crazy at home. I mean, they scored 13 points against Miami. They scored 14 points against Atlanta. They scored 30 against the Jets, but it was like 28-0 like that. And then they just took the air out of the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that well on Houston, and I don't think Houston's given up explosives. Allen played them last year. He went 9 of 30 for 150 yards, had a couple of dropped interceptions. It was one of the worst games he's ever played. I think his legs are going to have to be a part of what they do tonight. But I think Buffalo can frustrate them. Houston can frustrate Buffalo a little bit. And, I mean, the Bills are allowing 5.5 yards per carry. Like, that's not going away. They've allowed, what, 15 or 17 rushing touchdowns already? Yeah, I think Houston can play this game at their pace. And I think when you get Josh Allen frustrated, that's when the picks come.
You mentioned the running backs, which reminds me, we did get some closure, at least, and we don't still know what the heck's going on. But the Texans announced this week that Joe Mixon's out for the year.
And yeah, I had forgotten about him.
Yeah, he hadn't played a down this year, and there was some mysterious injury this offseason. Like, are we ever going to see Joe Mixon again? What the heck's going on there?
I mean, he was originally, wasn't it an NFI situation?
Yes.
So I don't think it was a football thing. I have no idea. I'd honestly forgotten all about that.
Odd is what it is.
Yeah, but in recent weeks, clearly, you can just look at the touches between him and Chubb. The pendulum has swung. Now look, Tennessee bottled Marks up last week. They also got Simmons back. They played with a lot more heart, frankly, than we've seen at times. But this Buffalo D-line is not constructed like Tennessee's. So, yeah, I mean, I think Houston has some confidence right now in what they did coming back on Jacksonville, and that's a tough place to score points. I mean, they allow, what, 16.7 points per game for the season? And if you look at
16.3.
I mean, you look at some of these numbers, like Houston at home since the start of last year, 10-2-1 to the under. Those games average 41.5 points. Houston's games this year in total average 38.3 points. If it's that kind of game, and you're making, like Baldy was just talking about, you're making Buffalo earn it and have to keep running 3-yard play after 5-yard play after 7-yard play against the best secondary in the NFL, lowest opposer passer rating against Houston this year and over the last 2 years, 29 interceptions in their last 27 games, I think they can steal a possession or two.
Yeah, the key is going to be the ground game for Houston. And you said it, Jason. Buffalo stinks. They've given up 400 yards rushing in the last 2 weeks. The Bucs went for over 200. We know what
Sean Tucker did.
Their top two backs.
Yeah, Sean Tucker.
Sean Tucker, baby.
Top of the week back for Ken. And, yeah. So if they're able to run the football, they're definitely a live dog tonight.
You want to hear D'Amico Ryans?
Yes.
D'Amico Ryans talks about the Bills' defense.
With their defense, I think they play fast. Like, they're going to have a lot of change-ups, a lot of different calls. They do a good job of mixing things very well, making it look the same. So they do a good job of disguising their calls. But those guys, they play fast. Good guys on the edges with Bosa, Russo, and then inside, they're nickel, they're Packers. They're smaller guys, but they play fast. They play physical. They attack the football really well as a defense. They've done a really nice job of forcing fumbles. We have to do a really even better job of protecting the ball, whoever touches it.
Did not mention that they're light in the rear.
No.
Which was something that they were last year. They still are.
They still are.
I'd like Derrick Henry, his one game like last year he's had this year is the Buffalo game week one.
Yeah. I mean, opposing backs have been finding joy against them. There's no two ways about it. Like, 19 for 106 and two touchdowns. Tucker, Achane, 22 for 174 and two touchdowns. Hunt, 11 for 50 and a touchdown. Dowdle, he only 8 carries, but for 54 yards. Bijan, 19 for 170 and a touchdown.
What's really wild about how terrible their rush defense is because of Josh Allen and the offense, it's not like the opposing team can really lean on the ground game as much as they can. They're bottom 10 in rushing attempts against them per game, and they're still second to last in yards per carry and second to last in rushing yards allowed.
We come back. We will talk more about the Orioles trade of Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward and what's to come with the Orioles. We'll ask. Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. He joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Some people are expecting the Orioles to be active this offseason, and it began with a trade of Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward. Let's talk Orioles now as we head up to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He's an IA Hall of Famer, and he joins us now. And, Jacob, thank you as always for your time. So your reaction to the trade?
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I think there's probably two ways to look at it. The first way is just to purely evaluate the trade. And I think it's a weird one and an interesting one and one that surprised a lot of people. But I think most people would agree that the 2026 team got better, considering at best Grayson was going to give you, I don't know, 80 to 100 innings, whatever that would have looked like. And the more likely scenario is that he would give you much less than that total. But it's also a risk, right? If you evaluate the trade, you give up 4 years of a cost-controlled starter for 1 year of a good but not great outfielder. And so on those merits, I think in a lot of ways it checks the box of what a lot of people in the fan base want this front office to do, which is to prioritize the present over the future. I think where this trade becomes sort of a problem is when you look at it in terms of how we got here, right, and what Grayson Rodriguez was supposed to be and yeah. This organization's history going back multiple regimes and their inability to develop pitching and how Grayson Rodriguez goes from being, I believe, the number one or number two pitching prospect in baseball in 2022 yep. to a guy who in 23 threw 8 innings of shutout ball in maybe the most important regular season game of the season in September against the Rays. And then in 24, I believe had like 70% of his starts were quality until he got hurt. At the start of 2025, he was 9 months ago was competing to be the number one starter on this team, that this front office was confident enough yes. in him that all they did in the offseason was go out and get Tomoyuki Sugano, Charlie Morton, and Kyle Gibson. And then 9 months later, they trade him for 1 year of a good but not great outfielder. I think that is the part that is souring a trade that kind of does make the 2026 team better, but it's just weird that we got to this point.
There's plenty we want to get to with Grayson, but I want to make sure we get this out of the way because we've been talking about it quite a bit here. They keep pushing this idea that they're right there for Kyle Tucker. I find it odd that they would make this trade if they really thought they were getting Kyle Tucker, who, as best I can tell, is a corner outfielder who also wouldn't help him at center field. That would seem really weird to me. Is that passing your sniff test?
The people reporting this stuff are much more connected, connected in scare quotes, to be clear, are much more connected than I am. I've covered this team for 3 years. I've seen this, you know, the way these guys operate for a long time. Even if they did have the money, it would shock me, right? It would shock everybody if they were the team that offered the most money for Kyle Tucker and he signed that deal, it would be surprising. Yes. When I saw this move, my interpretation, the Ward trade, my interpretation was, oh, they're going to go out and get two starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Now, are those two starting pitchers going to be of the caliber that the fan base wants? I don't know. My guess is maybe so. But my guess was, oh, this is probably their move for a bat, and they're going to legitimately invest in the rotation because mm-hmm. Mike knows that they need to win in 2026. Grayson really wasn't going to help that, and Ward can. And then the two guys that you get either via free agency or trade for the rotation can do that as well.
Jacob, one possibility in a different universe we brought up earlier in the show was maybe you keep Grayson and you put him in the bullpen. Would you have liked to have seen the Orioles explore that option?
Yeah, I think the fact that that was a legitimate possibility kind of goes to the point that, hey, this was with where the team is now, that this was actually an okay trade. Because you're looking at a guy that his future might be in the bullpen, or at least the short term might be in the bullpen, right? If you especially look at it and go, okay, there's a bunch of here with Grayson that's very kind of strange and interesting, right? To miss as much time as he has without a quote-unquote major injury is quite uncommon. So you look at it and go, okay, maybe at the beginning of the season he needs to be a reliever, or you start him in the rotation to begin the year. Then by the end of the year, he has to be a reliever. Either way, you're not getting a full season as a starter out of him. Then you have the lockout in 27, whatever that looks like. And then you've got two more years with him at whatever that's going to cost. And then on top of all of this, and this is like the unfortunate side of the game, is that if you have a computer set, you know, per se, that likes to, you know, put out probabilistic models, Grayson Rodriguez has never had Tommy John surgery. Now, with the types of injuries he's had, it seems to suggest that the way his arm works is putting the stress on a different part of his arm. But there's also changes being made to his mechanics to lighten that load, which could then put the stress on other parts of his arm. My point is that I believe in the modern era of baseball, pitchers that throw over 97 miles an hour like Grayson does, the only one who hasn't had Tommy John surgery is Aroldis Chapman, and he's an alien. So, yeah. So that means it's basically at some point, I don't know if it's next year or 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, but at some point that's coming for Grayson, unfortunately. And so you add that on top of this and go, okay, he's one bad pitch away from missing 18 months on top of already missing 18 months. And it's like, I don't know, man, Taylor Wood's a pretty good player to get for a pitcher that I have no idea what the future looks for him.
Talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. So with Taylor Ward in the fold, they seem to have an abundance of outfielders. How do you feel like the outfield shakes out?
Yeah, I think...
And by the way, I don't know that the outfield's all good, but they got guys.
They don't have an everyday center fielder, yeah. But I guess that's our, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think there's two things. Quickly on the center field part. Listen, if Colton Cowser stays healthy, I think he can be a fine defensive center fielder, right? Suitable, and then maybe Enrique Bradfield crushes it at the beginning of the year and he comes up. I think it would be smart for them to find another outfielder here that can be in a sort of platoon situation that can be a legitimate center fielder. I don't think Leody Taveras is that guy. If he is the fifth outfielder on this team, there are worse things in the world than that. Now when it comes to the rest of the outfield, it's funny. One of the criticisms I saw of this trade, which I don't think is spot on, is that people said that this is just getting another Tyler O'Neill. And I don't agree with that because despite Ward being a power right-handed bat who's coming off a 35-homer season, just like O'Neill was with Boston in 24, Ward's a very different player than O'Neill in the sense that he's much more reliable with what you're getting. The injury issues aren't there. O'Neill was a high-variance play. It was like, oh, this could be a six-win player for us, or he could get injured three times and he's a zero-win player. Obviously, the latter is what the Orioles got in 2025. Ward is basically, imagine if Austin Hayes hit 30 homers and hit 230 instead of hitting 20 homers and hit 270, right? Like, that's the type of player you're getting, and it's going to be – Austin Hayes not a great comp because he got injured a lot. But Ward is just somebody that I think you can rely on, and I think that's a pretty stabilizing force after somebody that can hit lefties and somebody that can stay healthy and somebody that's going to hit 25 to 30 homers reliably. I think that's important for this lineup.
Well, let's look at the pitchers. I mean, are you thinking like a Michael King type?
Yeah, I think you need to get... Is Michael King one of the ones that doesn't have the draft? I know Mike Elias said that the draft pick isn't going to be a thing, but of course it's going to be a thing.
I feel like he could have gotten a qualifying offer and didn't. Maybe, I think.
I think he's one of the ones that doesn't. But most of the guys on the free agent market at the top... have the qualifying offer attached. And so a guy like Michael King makes a lot of sense. I've kind of thrown out there, again, just speculating, I think Freddie Peralta makes sense. That's another one-year rental. I get it, but man, like, listen, trading with the Brewers makes a lot of sense because these two teams, the Guardians, the Brewers, the Rays, the Orioles, they all view prospects in a very similar light. That's a deal that can get done. They obviously traded for Burns a couple years ago. So if you go out and get a guy like Freddie Peralta, you give up some of your prospects, and then you go out and sign a mid-rotation starter for $60 million or whatever, right? I think that is a scenario where happy, the rotation looks good going into the season, really good going into the season, and it is within the price range that we expect this ownership group and this front office to want to spend at.
Jacob, by the way, real quick, Michael King did decline the qualifying offer. Yeah. Zach Gallen did as well. Dylan Cease did as well. Ranger Suarez did as well. So did Framber Valdez. So all those high-end guys are attached.
Ranger Suarez is the guy that I look at and just go, man, imagine if they can sign him. That's going to be 4 years, $90 million, four for 100. That's a little, you know, that's maybe a little bit out of their price range, but like it shouldn't be out of their price range, but it probably is.
Right.
But man, Ranger Suarez in this rotation looks really good. You pair him with Bradish, who I think is a legitimate ace, with Rogers, who I think is a legit number two, maybe even better. And so, listen, the upside's really there for this rotation, and that was not the scenario last offseason.
Last thing for you, Jacob. MLB's tender deadline tomorrow for arbitration-eligible players. We brought up Ryan Mountcastle earlier this week. Do you think it's likely that he could be non-tendered?
I think everything's on the table. I think he could be non-tendered. I could see him just getting the straight tender, and then I could see a situation where they come to an agreement on a 1 year deal with an option. You know, they've done that with some guys recently. The argument to tender him or to sign him is that hey, you do need right-handed bats. This is somebody that, despite the injury, despite the lack of power of the past 2 years, I believe from May 1st onward last season he hit like 280, right? And like I know the pop wasn't there, but it's like, this is a right-handed bat who plays a really good first base. We don't know what Coby Mayo is, and he's going to hit 280 if he's healthy. It's like, man, that's tough to just get rid of. On top of that, if you do tender him a contract, you can trade him. And now, is anybody going to necessarily want him? But it is something that you could package him in a deal to get a starting pitcher. You know, him and a couple prospects. And so I don't know what that's going to look like. Nothing would surprise me tomorrow. I probably lean towards them tendering, but I'm really not sure. Like, I don't think anything's going to surprise me, but just, I don't think, again, similar to Grayson, if you would have said 3-4 years ago that Ryan Mountcastle would hit six home runs in a season and then, and then get non-tendered, like, it's just, it's kind of confusing how some of these players have just declined the way that they have.
Jacob Calvin Meyer, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Bone Time coming up next. TMI with TIM. What you got?
For you know what's and giggles, I was looking this morning at Defensive Player of the Year odds, and obviously Myles Garrett is a heavy favorite. Book of the Bone had him at minus 300 to win a Defensive Player of the Year.
Book of the Bone's always going.
I was looking, where did Kyle Hamilton fall? He fell to the 11th best odds. And then I was thinking self. Obviously, he has a ton of impact, and he's really helped change the direction of this defense in back-to-back years in different ways, and not all of his impact is quantified in stats. Could Kyle Hamilton ever win a Defensive Player of the Year? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Kyle Hamilton coming off one of his better games of his career, really filling the stat sheet. He had 9 tackles, 1 sack, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 passes defensed, and a forced fumble against the Browns. He's the second NFL player to post a stat line of that. 9 tackles, sack, 3 tackles for a loss, 2 passes defensed, a fumble, and a partridge in a pear tree in a single game since 1999. And Mike Sando covers the NFL for The Athletic. We've had him on a couple of times. He, EPA, expected points added. Against the Browns on Sunday, Hamilton tackled Quinshon Judkins for a 2-yard loss from the edge position. He recorded a sack and forced fumble after lining up at inside linebacker. And he made a tackle for a 1-yard gain on a 3rd and 7 from the slot corner position. Those 3 plays contributed to 4.6 expected points average. That's 3 plays in 3 different positions that Kyle Hamilton did that with. And we know how versatile he is, the chess piece. Only player in the league 80 snaps as an edge defender, 130 as an inside linebacker, 140 as a slot corner, and 190 as a safety. And this year, he's already tied the most amount of pass rush attempts he's had in a season with 44, which was last year. So I was just looking this morning, defensive player of the year odds. And to no surprise, Myles Garrett, he's the prohibited favorite. Minus 300. Then it's Micah Parsons. And you keep going. Kyle Hamilton's 11th. I found it interesting that T.J. Watt had better odds than Hamilton. But as you'd expect...
He's won it before, though. That
he's
got to think how these voters think.
Well, he's won it before. But also, if you look basically back to 2011, the last time a safety won Defensive Player of the Year was Troy Polamalu in 2010. You can go back to 1985. Three safeties have won it. Polamalu, Ed Reed, and basically the 1 year Bob Sanders was healthy.
Yeah.
So those are the three safeties in 40 years that have won it. But if you look in how the voting has shifted, especially since 2010, 2011, of course, Suggs won it. Since that point, it's been pass rushers besides Surtain, of course, won it last year. Stephon Gilmore won it in 19. And Luke Kuechly, inside linebacker, won it in 2013. Besides that, J.J. Watt won it several times. Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald multiple times. T.J. Watt, as you did, Nick Bosa, Garrett. It's really morphed into almost a pass rusher award.
Yeah.
And
it's like MVP as a quarterback award.
Yeah, and you look at the names above Kyle, and all of them are pass rushers. And I was kind of thinking, with how rare it is for a safety to win Defensive Player of the Year, and I know Kyle isn't a true safety, of course, because he's playing all over. I do wonder what it would take for him to eventually win a Defensive Player of the Year. And he's a young player. He's 24 years old. He's, you hope, has a long, long career ahead of him. But you'd need one of those monsters. Like, Ed Reed had 9 interceptions his year. Troy Polamalu, with basically the linebacker, could hit his linebacker. But he had 7 picks that year as well. And Sanders was really that prototypical strong safety as well. It takes those kind of sexy stats, right? Sacks is a sexy stat.
Yeah, and also I think it would take a down year in the set. Like,
totally.
Yeah, like
totally.
Maybe the league leader in sacks has 14.
A year where, Myles Garrett is getting a hat trick in 30 minutes against your team.
Yes,
it would. But I did find it interesting just how it has morphed into more of a pass rusher award in the last 15 years, or 12 of the last 15 have been pass rushers. So it's going to take, like you said, Ken, a combination of him having a special season in terms of interceptions, sacks, one of those sexy stats, and a down year in terms of sacks.
Coming up next, what would a Thursday be without our friend Lucy Burge from DraftKings? We'll get her best bets and, of course, a lot of nonsense with Lucy next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.